This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. This election season, the flow of ads in your Facebook feed and on your screens is increasing. Behind the scenes, money flowing to some of Michigan's contested races is increasing as well. Craig Mauger is a reporter for the Detroit News who's been writing about this. He's formerly the director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network. Craig, good to talk to you.
Thanks for having me.
You published an in-depth piece last week about Senator Gary Peters' re-election campaign and some of the donations that are flowing in. The best funded contender on the Republican primary ballot right now is John James. What did you find when you started looking into donations for his campaign?
We found that there was a group called Better Future Michigan Fund that had raised $800,000 from members of West Michigan's DeVos family. And you might question, why does that matter in this race between James and Gary Peters? And the reason is that in U.S. elections today, especially close competitive federal level elections, a lot of the spending takes place with outside groups. These are groups acting independently of these two campaigns. So this group, Better Future Michigan Fund, has had a stated objective of trying to help John James beat Gary Peters in 2020. And the fact that it's already gotten $800,000 from members of the DeVos family is a signal of how much activity this group might be undertaking this year.
What did you learn about how many donors this PAC has?
As of the end of 2019, that's all we have disclosures for so far, this PAC had six donors, all of them members of the DeVos family, and all of them giving between $100,000 and $200,000.
Is there much mobility in the super PACs that you've tracked? John James has had a pretty successful run for office before. Folks might remember he challenged Debbie Stabenow in the Senate race in 2018, and he didn't lose by very much. Can you tell if any of the donors that were active in his campaign at that point were active here?
Yeah, the DeVos family members had given some contributions, and through corporate entities, they'd given other contributions to super PACs, one particularly the Outsider PAC that was active in the 2018 race. The contributions didn't total up to $800,000, however. This is much more than they gave last time around. And another difference is that in 2018, John James had to win a competitive primary election in order to get to the general election. So that delayed some of the large flow of money into his race, because donors often don't want to give until a candidate has been anointed by primary voters. In this case, with Gary Peters, John James is seen by many to be the heavy favorite to be the nominee, and that's allowed some of this early money to pour in already. There's been PAC spending by other groups backing John James, and it's allowed this race for the U.S. Senate to really get started a lot earlier.
Are family PACs a new thing?
No, this is not a new thing. I mean, we've had PACs around for many years that have raised money from a single family or been largely powered by a single family. In Michigan, the DeVos family funds a large number of PACs. I think what is somewhat new is the number of PACs that are being powered by individual donors. I mean, this is happening much more often in 2020 than it happened 10 years ago in 2010.
Craig, it's definitely a little bit weird to look at a campaign disclosure form and see six people with the same last name being stacked up there. But is there anything inherently troubling or problematic about how this works? I mean, isn't this sort of the same as how donations have happened in the pre-Citizens United era, when, you know, maybe one person was not in a position to give or didn't want to have their name appearing on campaign finance disclosure forms many times, so they would have a donation happen through a family member?
Yeah, I mean, I think people have been giving as family units for a long time. When you give to a candidate, there are limits on how much you can give directly to that candidate. So oftentimes, people will have family members give the maximum amount in addition to their own maximum amount as a way to pour as much money as possible into a candidate's campaign. What we have now is this independent spending element of it, where groups that are acting independently of the candidate's campaign can raise unlimited amounts of money. And with the DeVoses, they have done this for many years in terms of the family kind of giving as a unit on the same day in similar amounts to political action committees or candidates that they like.
How would you rate the transparency of independent spending in the wake of Citizens United?
In the wake of Citizens United, and before it in many ways, in Michigan, we've always had large sums of undisclosed spending by groups. Citizens United primarily affects groups that run ads telling you specifically how to vote. And it's a court ruling that says that corporate entities can give as much as they want and government cannot put limits on it as long as this is happening independently of the candidates. And that is spending, again, that tells you how to vote. In Michigan, for years upon years upon years, we've had this tradition of dark money spending that runs ads that don't tell you expressly how to vote. They either slam a candidate and say, hey, this person is awful, call them and tell them they're doing an awful job, or this person is great, call them and tell them that they're doing a great job. Citizens United doesn't specifically affect those groups because they're not considered in Michigan at the state level here to be election spending. They don't fall under campaign finance disclosures because there's kind of this difference. Citizens United did put a boost in terms of groups running corporately funded ads telling you how to vote. So that's where the growth area has been, dark money ads telling people how to vote.
Do you have any observations for us on how super PAC spending has worked out in the modern era, maybe from the 2016 or the 2018 contests?
Yeah, something that I talk about often when I was at the Michigan Campaign Finance Network that tracks all of this, we had in 2018 a number of very competitive U.S. House races in Michigan. We're thinking specifically here the 8th District race that saw Alyssa Slotkin flip a seat and the 11th District race that saw Haley Stevens flip a seat. And you can kind of see in these two races what's happening in competitive contests in this era of money in politics. In the 8th District race, Alyssa Slotkin won. That race drew $28 million. And of that $28 million, only $11 million flowed through the candidates' campaigns. So a majority of the money, $17 million, came from these outside groups that were acting outside of the candidates' campaigns. If you got mailers in that race, if you saw TV ads, a large number of them did not say paid for by the candidates at the bottom. It said paid for by Independence USA or America First Action. These were two of the super PACs that were heavily involved. Why does this matter? Well, the shift is candidates' campaigns have limits on how much they can raise from individual donors, and all of their donors must be disclosed, and they can't take money directly from corporations, while these outside spenders can receive unlimited amounts of money from individual donors, and they can take corporate money, and that's when it becomes harder to track where the money is coming from. So that's kind of the shift in money in politics that we're seeing right now.
Is this something that you expect to see continuing into the 2020 cycle, that more than half of the cash spent in contested races would come from the super PACs?
Yeah, if it is a competitive race, if it's a race where both sides are trying hard to win it, I would fully expect to see over half of the money in some of these, especially the U.S. House races, most likely this U.S. Senate race that we're about to see in 2020, over half of the money from all the data we've seen previously is likely to come from these outside groups that are acting outside of the candidates' campaigns.
You know, there were some concerns around the time of Citizens United that the outside spending was going to come from places that basically could not be directed or controlled. In theory, the outside groups aren't allowed to coordinate with the campaigns. And so, you know, there were some people who were involved in politics who said, this really isn't a good idea because it doesn't allow our candidates to communicate in the way that the campaign team agrees is a good thing, or in ways that are a positive impact on the race. How would you say that's played out?
That's a great question. I mean, I think there are candidates who are sometimes frustrated by what these outside groups are putting out there. But there's also this deniability that happens where if there's an ad that is really nasty, that's really negative, and voters in general don't, they might respond to them, but they don't appreciate how negative some of the ads are. If a voter gets frustrated by an extremely negative ad and it comes to from an outside group, it's a lot harder for them to hold the candidate responsible because there's this arm distance length between the candidate and the outside group that is supposedly independent of the candidate. So the outside group that likely most voters have never heard of is the one pumping in the most negative messages often into these races. So that's one dynamic that has definitely played out, is you've seen a lot of the negative ads that now air coming from these independent groups that are sometimes murky in who's running them or how they're connected to the candidate.
Craig, are there any other races within Michigan that you expect to see drawing a lot of outside spending this year?
So, I mean, it's possible in the 3rd Congressional District, which is just in Amash's current seat, that there could be a very competitive race that draws outside spending. The 6th District, where Fred Upton is expected to run for re-election, could be a race where you see a lot of outside spending. And one of my colleagues and I in my office were just talking about, we have 2 seats on our Michigan Supreme Court that are going to be up for election this year. And Michigan is kind of notorious for having very expensive state Supreme Court races. And often in those races, a lot of the money flows in from dark money, untraceable groups. And it's very possible that we could have a large amount of outside spending in our state Supreme Court races this year as well.
Well, Craig, thank you so much for talking to us about this. And we really appreciate all your work. Looking forward to reading more of your stuff this year.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
That's Craig Mauger of the Detroit News.